Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Talk in Tech podcast, where we talk about technology, gadgets, trends, and other innovative products from the lens of a not-so-serious consumer.
This episode features our first guest speaker, Ankur Mishra. Ankur and Amit are longtime friends, and they found themselves frequently talking about how to keep their kids safe in this digital world, where we are dependent on the internet for every other thing. They talk about ways to enable kids to consume child-safe content and safeguarding them against predatory behavior. They touch on topics like gaming, comics, parental controls, and different content consumption devices and tools to manage them. Here is the discussion between Amit and Ankur.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Talk in Tech podcast. And this one is going to be a little bit different because we have a special guest on the podcast today. So I have a very, very longtime friend with me today on the podcast. His name is Ankur Mishra, and I will let him introduce himself first. Ankur, why don't you introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. First of all, thank you for having me here. And it's lovely to be on your podcast. I'm Ankur. I'm working in Singapore, and I'm father of two kids. And that's pretty much about it. I have two kids. One of them is 10-year-old, other one is 6-year-old. And today, Amit wanted to discuss about, you know, how do we ensure that kids are safe in this internet first world, and probably we are going to have some conversation around that.
Right. So yeah, I mean, being fathers of young kids, I think this is quite an important topic to discuss, and given the pandemic times, something that has, you know, really hit all of us really hard. I kind of assume that you know, parents in our segment, in our kind of demographics, are facing similar issues right now. And I just thought it would be worth discussing, especially since you have two kids. I only have one, and he's just turned six. But having two kids around, managing in the pandemic time and managing their internet time, not only time, I think time is one important aspect which, you know, I terribly struggle with, but also what are they actually doing on the internet? I think that becomes also an important area where parents have to be careful and engaged. So maybe the way we can do this conversation, Ankur, is let's just start off with what you do. I mean, how did this hit you, right? So yeah. Were your kids always very internet savvy, or was it the pandemic that you know, made some of these things force themselves upon you? How did that happen?
Yeah, that's a great question. So as a family, I would say we have been trying to avoid this in a way. My kids were not exposed to devices at all, except for, you know, their usual dinner time, limited, you know, cartoon watching, right? So that was the extent of the device exposure that we had in our family before 2020. And, you know, suddenly, you know, these unfortunate events happened, which forced us to lockdown. And now, you know, suddenly the schools is all, you know, online. Everybody is going through this learning curve, including kids, teachers, and so on. To be honest, we didn't even have enough devices in home to properly set it up for all of them. So it was a learning curve, but at the same time, I feel that, somebody from tech background, I'm a software engineer by profession, which I should have mentioned. I feel that internet today is no longer optional, right? So kids need to be exposed to this, just like how when we were growing up, we were exposed to, you know, real world in form of, you know, the transactions that we would do, you know, buying groceries and so on and so forth. So it was a good, forcing function in a way, although it was unfortunate for us to introduce our kids to internet. So having said that, you know, yes, we were skeptic and, slightly worried about multiple factors, including, you know, to start with the screen time, but also, you know, the various threats that we are aware of. There are predatory behaviors. There are, you know, how do we ensure that they are aware of, you know, various dangers? But, you know, you don't start with, you know, by telling them about all the threats. You know, the strategy that we took in our household was to kind of provide them a sandbox, a safe environment, by giving them limited access. But what do you do? Like, I know that your son is a little bit too young for you to start worrying about this, but is there anything that you do?
Well, actually, you know, this is a really great point that you break up. So we kind of think that the ecosystem that we are in and the age that at least my son is, or the kids in the same age group are, they may not really, it may not really impact them. But I feel like, you know, there are some things that just happen which make you feel that there's a lot of importance to sort of educating yourself and then starting to give the similar education to your kids, whatever age group they are, and however much they can understand at that point in time about areas that you kind of mentioned about being, you know, staying away from content which is probably not their age group, or other kinds of behavior which may be damaging to them. How it happened to me, so, I mean, of course, this was a forcing function for me as well, right? So my kid used to go to the school, and then he was in a daycare almost until the evening. So by 5:30, 6 o'clock, when I used to come back from the office, I would pick him up and get him back. And then, of course, there is how many hours remain after that, right? Before the guy goes to sleep. So you have very, very limited amount of time where you can actually catch on to any screen time or any apps or anything else. And suddenly that has, like, you know, quadrupled, or whatever factor you can multiply it by, because the moment you wake up in the morning to the time that you sleep, right now you have to figure out things to do, right? And if both of you are working, which in my case, like, my wife works and I work, so it becomes a little more challenging, because, you know, you are in meetings, or you're working, you have something specific to deliver, and your kid is kind of after your life, because their school, at least until the last month, lasted only for 90 minutes to what, 120 minutes. And then they are free, right? So what do they do? So I think I have been thinking about this a lot, but some things that, you know, really made me cross the line and think about it seriously was when I heard a few words from his mouth, which I didn't want to hear. Right, because, you know, YouTube's algorithm doesn't really work very nicely.
Exactly.
And they would hear something, and inadvertently they would repeat it in front of their parents, because, of course, they don't understand the meaning. And that is when it hit our family also that, okay, we really need to do something about this, and not only talk to them, but also maybe, you know, technologically enable ourselves to handle situations like this. So that's how it happened for us, at least.
I mean it did not happen to me, but I'm aware of, you know, there were certain videos on YouTube where, you know, the content, inappropriate content, was stitched in between, you know, very, very innocent looking cartoons, and you know, there were certain instances where really nasty stuff was even plugged in. So that brings me to, that just reminds me of an interesting memory. I have had a very similar incident in my childhood, where I ended up coming back home inadvertently, you know, saying some words which my parents didn't want to hear. And we also had a similar talk. But anyways, coming back to the topic, I think one of the things that we decided to do early on was, essentially, first of all, limit the access to, you know, public content sites like YouTube. So YouTube, like, we started, you know, so we just told them that the only content that they could watch is, you know, Netflix kids, right? Because that's kind of a curated content.
Right.
I mean, I know that this is restricting them to access to a lot of information, but you know that's kind of what we did. You know, everybody is trying different
Exactly.
stuff.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I found, you know, really interesting was that I kind of created iCloud accounts for my kids, and clearly marked them as child's account, and set
Okay.
up monitoring, and just give them a computer with. Where they are logged in as themselves, so that you know
Right.
we could make most of the content filtering that you know iCloud provides, and I know that Google also has similar things. So I
Correct.
think that's kind of one another cheaper tool that we could use to kind of provide them a safe or probabilistically safer internet
Yeah.
experience.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. So that is exactly what kind of, you know, some of those things are what we did also. So YouTube Kids is probably one of those examples, but YouTube Kids does have this problem, the problem that you
Right,
mentioned. So
right,
there
right.
can be inappropriate content out there stitched between very innocent looking stuff, and you wouldn't catch it. Although I haven't kind of, you know, noticed that.
Yeah.
What my kid does, and I think we spoke about this, you know, maybe some other time that you're talking, he's gotten into a few games which are probably not really his age group. So there's one game called Among Us. I don't know if you know about
Yeah.
that, or if your kids play Among Us.
Yes, they do. And
So, yeah.
I'm always speaking over the shoulder, but yeah, sorry.
Yeah. No worries. So Among Us is a very popular game, and I have played it, and it's addictive, and my kid is kind of, you know, very much into it. But
Right.
most of these games, like Among Us and probably Minecraft, is another example. They are not only games; they have an ecosystem around them. If you've noticed, right? So
Right.
there is so much content out there on YouTube around these games, which people are, of course, they're free to make that content because they're monetizing it. That's their way of earning money.
Right.
Like videos of people modifying the game and doing several things to the game, and then, you know, stitching those videos for hours and hours, and my kid likes to watch them. So when it all started, we were like, it's okay, right? Because he's picking up on something. And so one good thing about internet has been, and I don't know if you have noticed it, and since you said that your kids weren't that digitally exposed earlier, the language barriers were broken very early because of them watching a lot of stuff on internet. They could speak earlier, and they could speak very fluently also.
Of
But
course,
then,
yeah.
like you said, the downside is that those videos are actually made by adults, their
Yeah.
friends connecting over a network and then happily chatting over a game.
Yeah.
And like when we do, when we are not podcasting, we would
Yeah.
use words which are not really, you know, meant for
Yeah.
public consumption.
Totally.
So that's when things started to go a little hanky panky in my house. And the thing was that then YouTube access has to be restricted, right? So
Yeah.
YouTube Kids became the thing that we wanted him to watch. And
Yeah.
like you said, creating parallel accounts which are child only, and then monitoring their activities and making sure that either it is Hotstar Kids or it is Netflix Kids or Amazon Prime Kids, that's the kind of content that they get to consume. The other thing is, like, my kid is also a lot into Legos. So we have like a ton of Lego stuff in our house, Lego bricks, and he uses some of the videos to sort of reconstruct few things.
Right.
So it's again, you know, it's a balance, right? You can't
Of
be
course.
sitting with the kid all the time. You can't
Totally.
be saying that, okay, I will watch everything that you do.
Right.
Because it's not practically possible. Even if I were like a very worrisome dad, I can't do that.
I mean, yeah, in a way, it is almost like, you know, how our dads taught us, you know, the ways of the world, by, you know, like we were not asked to sit in home all the time, right? We were exposed
Right.
to the real world. And I think that's kind of the balancing act that all of us are trying to achieve somehow.
True, true. And these days, I think you might relate to that, right? It's hard to have that boundary between what is your personal time. By personal time, I mean only your time,
Yeah.
versus what is the time that you spend with family or friends and so on and so forth, because you're
Right.
kind of restricted in a place. So
Right, right.
sometimes you feel like locking yourself in a room and
Yeah.
let the world do whatever you want. And then anything can happen when something like that happens, right? Essentially.
That's true. That's true. I think gaming is a very interesting topic, right? Because gaming is such a part of the culture of, it is part of, our lives as well. We ha all of
Right.
us have game, but kids these days they communicate over, what are the trending
Oh,
games.
yes,
They talk about gaming characters.
absolutely.
So I realized when we were keeping our kids away from digital world, there was this one concern that, my kid would go and talk to his friends and, they would not find a common talking point because
Ground.
of,
Yep.
yeah. So I think yeah, as you said, they need to be exposed, but I think providing enough. And another point that I think I forgot to mention was, leading by example, right? So I game a lot on my mobile phone, right? I play
Okay.
Call of Duty a lot. So
Okay.
and then I realized that my kids are also trying to play mobile games all the time because they are seeing their dad doing that, right? So, I had to restrict the time. I had to kind of explain to them what is the hygiene that they need to, they need that we need to set up certain sleeping times, waking times, no screen times, and so on and so forth. And
Right.
I don't always follow it, but I pretend that
Well,
I do.
I'm guessing when we get your kids as a listener on this podcast, there'll be one unhappy family inside your
No,
house.
they are not going to listen to it for at least a few years.
So, by the way, what you just said, Ankur, kind of reminded me of a very funny thing. So when we were growing up, and I don't know, I'm pretty sure you would also have read all those comics that used to come in, right? Comics were kind of a source of entertainment at that point in time, which was highly digitized, printed material with very actionable characters. And some of those comics actually had content which I can compare to some of the content that these guys consume. If it's
Totally.
even if it's not in motion,
Yeah.
it was violent, it was probably provocative also at any given
Totally.
point in time. But somehow, it's not like consuming that content made a lot of negative impact on our lives. I think the way internet kind of differs is while you are consuming that content, there is some impression that gets made into your mind. But what is happening, right? If there is, like you mentioned earlier, if there is any predatory behavior happening
Yeah.
on the other side, which
Right.
you get exposed to, because, like you said, children chat online these days as well,
Right,
right?
right,
So
right.
some of these games have voice chatting enabled. I make sure that I have disabled all microphones on my devices before my
Yeah.
kid gets into some of these games. But yeah, I mean,
Yeah.
some of this can actually lead to pretty
Yeah.
dangerous consequences.
Right. I think one thing that really helps us, and this is the right thing to do at such a young age to kind of restrict them. But I think as in next 2 to 3 years, I think there are tons of resources like available on ChildNet, for example, where we could actually openly talk to our kids about certain stuff, right? So, and I think that would be the right balance. So I actually was talking to a friend of mine who has slightly older kids, and I was asking him, what do you do? Like, how do you, like, I was trying to understand before coming to this podcast, what are other parents doing? And he said, we don't do anything. We just use love and a little bit of control, right? So I think as long as line of communication is open, internet world is exactly the same as real world, right? Like, they should be able to come to us and talk
True.
about things that they are uncomfortable about.
True. No, I totally agree with that, and I think it is not worth overstressing yourself about these things, because
Exactly.
given a point in time, which is probably a little less for you, maybe a few years on the line for your boy,
Yeah.
and maybe a little little more for me, but this is all going to tip away and they're going to do whatever they want and never ask us
Exactly.
anyways what's going to
Exactly.
happen. So
And yeah,
yeah.
no point on us being paranoid or making them paranoid about this word. They just need to be aware. I think that's kind of the
Yep, I agree. I agree. So on the same line, so you did mention a few things that you use to control things in your house. Do you also have some software or products that you have installed in your house to kind of monitor, or is it more the iClouds and the accounts that you have created?
So far, it is limited to that. So instead of monitoring, what we are trying to do is trying to provide them alternates. So we are right now focused on that strategy more. So for example, my boy, since he loves to read a lot, so I will he was he pretty much would do Wikipedia surfing all day if we leave him, right? So
Okay.
but that could lead to certain inappropriate content being
Correct.
so what we have done is we have essentially bought a Kindle account for him, a kids account where he could buy books. Similarly, as I said, we have invested in different content services. We have created paid accounts, and pretty much everybody has that, right? So
Right.
and that's pretty much it. I use Netflix, oh sorry, the iCloud account. I do have set up parental controls just to make sure that they are not exposed to inappropriate content. I have set up a ProDon VPN on all the computers in the house, which has tracking protection, and just generally advertising protection and so on. So I think these are the basic services. I haven't yet installed anything else because there's no need yet. My next step is to essentially buy my son an Apple Watch, which he could use
Okay.
as a primary phone, and not give him another screen for some more years, since he is at that age where he needs to be in touch with us when he's out.
Right, and I think Apple Watch is a good device for that because
Yeah.
you can as a parent track your kid very nicely and vice versa also. So yeah,
Right,
that's a
right.
pretty
Plus, they can be in touch with us and they don't need to kind of have a phone, which kind of adds more complexity.
Right. Your kid is almost about to tip off that age, right? As soon as he in another 3 years or so he'll be in teens, right?
Yeah, he will be. Plus, since Singapore is pretty safe, kids start traveling, taking public transport pretty early. So, which means that they need to
Okay.
have some device where they could communicate with us and so on. So,
Correct. Interesting. That's interesting. Yeah, that's obviously a major difference between, say, a place like Singapore and India. Parents are, of course, you know that parents are a little overprotective here anyways, and it's not as safe as it would
no,
be, for
so
example, in
the
Singapore.
problem is inverse, right? Since Singapore is so safe, when kids need to travel, we need to make sure that they understand that any other place, right? Be it India or any other place, it's not as safe for them as they would assume. Yeah.
It's like the driving analogy, right? And they say if you have driven in India, you can probably drive anywhere else, but the vice versa doesn't work very well. Yeah, true. So what I have, I have kind of been investing a little more time in these, in researching about these areas
Right,
lately.
right.
Just to understand what is out there that people use, and when you start looking over the internet about what's happening out there, things can get scary very very quickly. So I'll give you an example, right? So there's this company called VTech, I think.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've heard of it.
I have.
You have, right? So back in 2018 or so, and this is a company that makes a lot of toys. I think they say that every second or third toy in the United States, or stuff that gets exported, has technology built in by VTech in it. And some of the toys these days have this, a lot of toys these days have this thing, right? That you have a Bluetooth connectivity or some sort of a connectivity that you need your app for. You need to install an app for it, and then you need to create an account, and then a child's account, and then upload voice recordings and upload pictures and photos. And I think these guys hit a pretty major lawsuit because all of this information got leaked, and then they had to settle it. And I think they did some pretty lame stuff by sort of making their terms and conditions like the risk is all on your side if you're consuming our product, which when I read it, I felt like it is one of the weirdest things to do for a product organization. But yeah, so I came across a few tools. I don't know if you've heard of them, but there are tools out there. There are applications out there which are specifically for this purpose. One of them is called NetNanny, which is I'm trying right now. So it's an app that you install and then it lets you have control over devices and applications and then monitor them accordingly.
Right.
There are other such things, something called Circle with Disney. I don't know if you've heard of it. So it's like a small router kind of a device which hooks into your Wi-Fi and then lets you manage pretty similar things. Pretty nifty stuff. A lot of customization and control available. But of course, all of this comes with a lot of overhead also, right? So
yeah,
the challenge is always how do you keep it bare minimal and still make it effective?
Yeah, I think that's kind of one of the challenges. But by the way, as you were, these were two great resources. I've heard of NetNanny, but not the Circle product that you just talked about. But as you said, yeah, there's only limited time that we have to essentially administer. I would be very honest. I talked about, you know, iCloud setup, etc., but I do not monitor it, right? I kind of try to rely
yeah.
on, you know, the default settings and kind of ensuring that, you know, I'm just
yeah.
monitoring my kid. They don't use devices when they're alone and so on and so forth.
Mm.
Not that we don't trust them, but...
Yeah. You know, yeah. Mm. I think trust is one important factor anyways, right? So I keep telling my kid that I trust you. And then when something happens which seems to be breaking trust, then there are consequences.
Right.
If you do it the other way around, I don't think it works very
well. Totally.
Okay. So, Ankur, what else? I mean, what else is happening around this? So is there anything else that you or your ecosystem is aware of around these topics?
I mean, as I said that, you know, my plan is the site like ChildNet. My kid is, I've been telling him a lot about not just this topic, but generally about, you know, there are other areas that we need to discuss with them as well, right? So there's this entire concept of internet privacy, right? It used to be a big thing, you know, in the last decade. Now it is no longer the case, right? So I want to make sure that they are generally aware. My son has read a lot of DuckDuckGo's resources to kind of understand, you know, how the tracking works and so on. So that, yeah, I've kind of educated him on that. We have certain social media policy that at home, like we don't put our kids' photos in, you know, our public Instagram feeds or, you know, WhatsApp statuses.
Mm.
Like a lot of people do, but I think, you know, that's kind of one of the things that we don't want to do.
Interesting.
And I think the talk that I'm going to have with my kid is about, you know, generally about content on internet and what is shareable and what is not, because, you know, now, starting this year, there's a lot of, you know, talks where he wants to chat with his friends, you know. So I want to make sure that before we establish those text mediums, we kind of have a chat about, you know, what.
You mean text chat? Okay, I understand.
So
interesting, And their language and their I think their vocabulary would be. If not drastically, but definitely a little different from
totally,
ours, right?
Like, I don't understand a lot of things, right? Like, I was telling him that, hey, this is not proper English, and apparently it is, right? Like, he was coming and telling me as if, and I did not know that, you know, it's a phrase that's used these days. So, but that's kind of the case with all the parents, right?
True. Every generation has a similar
like,
thing, yeah.
Kids make you feel old.
Yeah, and that is absolutely true. One more thing that came to my mind, which was very interesting. I think it was a podcast or it was an article that I was reading. they were talking about similar things. They were talking about privacy. They were talking about managing child content. And then there are a few apps that actually are going overboard. So they are helping you manage a lot of content and monitoring a lot of content for your kids. But then they're going overboard and they're like, I will also tell you how to now, since this kid is watching this content, let me tell you how to talk to them about not doing it, about steps to sort of, wean them away from something like that. And I think what I read and what I kind of heard is that that could be overdoing, from an application's perspective, then that could again be breaching a privacy barrier that parents or kids might not be breached. So again, a fine line here, right? So if you are the one who is reading my content and then contextualizing your advice based on what my kid is seeing, I think that application itself is doing some
totally
privacy issues.
I mean, to be honest, we cannot teach kids about privacy without, if we are always monitoring them, right? So like that's kind of that's kind of backwards. So that as well as generally just if somebody came to me, right, and told me that every piece of content that I'm watching, 50% of it is inappropriate, you should not be doing it, I would either become a rebel, right, or I would just think that internet is a really bad thing, which it is not, right? Like
it's a really bad place.
It has a lot of positives. So what is also important is that we also talk about, how to use internet in a positive sense, right? Like that's why I keep talking to my kids about topics like, online privacy, DuckDuckGo. Like my kids have suddenly become very anti-Google. So I'm trying to put things in perspective. But
that's why I see that you are messaging me using an iPhone these days. Interesting.
So
now that is absolutely true. I agree. If you can't respect somebody's privacy, then what else is privacy all about?
Exactly, right. I agree. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of needed for the age at which my daughter and your son, they are probably too young to be kind of left alone, but after 2 or 3 years we need to kind of find the balance where they can do some things which are okay, right? Like as you said, we were growing up with what would be considered inappropriate content, the Hindi movies in that decade were all
extremely inappropriate.
Exactly. And I don't think it had any negative bearing on our personality.
Agreed. I totally make sense.
There are a lot of things that could be improved about our personalities, but I don't think Hindi movies had anything to do with it.
I agree with you. And it has all got to do with, I think, how our parents kind of perceived the situation and managed all of the resources and content around us. So that would have made a difference.
Yeah, mostly.
Although, while you are speaking about this, I cannot recollect how it happened.
Yeah.
But then, it didn't turn out that bad.
Yeah, I think if I look back, I think one thing which I kind of find common is that in most of the cases, it was a clear definition of right and wrong, right? At some point established by parents, which our parents did very
sticks to your mind. Yeah.
So I think having more talks about these things and like not kind of brushing them under carpet or kind of just hiding behind the tooling, I think that's more important, right? Like tooling exists.
No, absolutely.
But, it cannot replace the discussions that you can have with your kids. I think, I don't know whether that's true or not. We'll get to know about it in a few years, but.
No, but that is a brilliant thought, Ankur. And I think that's a great thought to sort of end this discussion as well. I had a lovely time chatting with you about this topic. I think we've been trying to engage on this for a long time. So thanks for making time for this and recording this podcast for us. And I hope that our listeners would also find it really useful. So thanks, Ankur. And I will hope to get you back into the podcast soon with some other topic.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure talking to you. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Take care.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Talk and Tech podcast hosted by Amit Tripathi and me, Setu Garg. We would love to hear your comments and suggestions. Amit's Twitter handle is at unusualrant and mine is at Setu Garg. Music for the podcast is produced by Nomadic Lust. Cover art design is by Malvika Tiwari. You can find the link to the artist's pages and our Twitter handles in the episode's show notes. Until next time, take care and goodbye.